Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're happy to be in church on a Sunday night, why don't you look over to your neighbor and say, man, I'm so glad to see you tonight. And if that person don't look like they're glad to see you, turn to the other side. Say, I'm glad to see you on a Sunday night. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord another round of applause? Has he been good to anybody in the house tonight? Oh, just a couple of you. Has he been really good? Praise God. Praise God. He is good. He is good. Give honor to your bishop, your pastor, my friend, all the leadership here in Orange Park. Man, you guys got a great Christmas present coming up with this new building. Man, that's exciting. That means the Lord is answering prayer in Orange Park. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I give honor to Brother and Sister Thompson here, this church, fine church. Why don't you give your pastor, your bishop a round of applause? He's always been very, very kind to me. This is my presbyter. I love him. We honor you, brother. Thank you so much for allowing us to come, or allowing me to come. You know, I got some problems in my life. All my kids are involved in ministry and nursery and in choir, so I had to kind of sneak out. But they do send their love here to you, and thank you so much for having us, for having me. But the Lord is good, amen? Amen. You know, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time tonight. You know, I didn't come here to pastor you. I just came to encourage you. Amen. Is that okay? Amen. Is that okay? So we have two verses of scripture I'd like you to read with me. The first is in Psalms chapter 37, verses 3 through 5. And we're also going to jump over to Romans 8, 24 and 25. Praise God. Praise God. If you got that, say amen. Amen. If you're still working on it, say hold on. It's on page 557 in my Bible. Don't know if that helps you or not. Praise God. All right. Psalms 37, 3 through 5. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, or take great pleasure, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way, or give trust unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Why don't we jump over to Romans? Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Praise the Lord. Can we put our Bibles down for just a moment and go before the Lord in prayer? Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for this time, this opportunity. Lord, these are your people. And I ask you, Lord God, to only give me the words that you have me to say. We thank you, Lord, for always being good. Thank you for always being so kind and so merciful. Lord God, help us to maneuver through the scriptures, Lord God, to find ways to apply this, what thus saith the Lord, into our hearts, our minds, into our souls. We thank you for being good. And all over this building, we can lift our voice to the Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't you high five your neighbor as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like you guys already. My mission and title tonight is quite simply choosing faith over the facts. And with the help of the Lord, I just want to offer a reminder that despite the forecasts of these crazy times, we must continue to have hope and have a trust that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Faith that the situation going on outside of these walls will always work out for my good. Our text references the words hope and trust. Hope is defined as a feeling that that which is desired will turn out for the best. Trust is defined as a confident expectation. So we have hope and a little bit of trust, and we get a manifestation of faith. You see, these two words are actually that main idea of faith. For without hope and without trust, there can be no faith. Do we have any believers in the house? You see, Scripture is littered with statements regarding peace and perseverance, having faith in what is to come. You see, however, in our humanity, my brothers and sisters, it is easy to allow the things of this world, the economy and the ever-present conflicts around this nation, and not to mention our own health and our social issues and social standings. And if we're really honest with ourselves, and we perhaps may not say these things out loud, we are concerned about our families, we're concerned about our businesses, and the unknown future. And not just our future, but the future of our children and perhaps our grandkids. We may be thinking to ourselves, what will this thing look like in about 3 to 5 years? With the way things are going, how will I be able to provide and protect my family and my friends? And it is because of our humanity, we begin to ponder and dwell on what we know. And since we don't have the ability to look into the future, we draw from the historical past experiences. Or we draw from the present, the thing that's right in front of us. Some call it examining the facts. We draw these facts from the historical, how it happened before. And oftentimes we draw it from the emotional, how it felt when it happened. As a child of God, these facts often create the breeding grounds of an emotion called fear. We hear and we read about the facts in newspapers and media outlets all the time. And hopefully you will agree with me that fear is such a daunting emotion, but fear has never been a part of God's plan for our lives. It says in Deuteronomy 31 and 8, "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." But the truth of the matter is, have we ever really took time and thought about the difference between fear and faith? We understand that fear and faith, they're both asking us to believe that something is going to happen. You see, fear says that business is down and you're about to go under. But faith says God shall supply all my needs. Fear says that there is a pain in my side and it's just like grandma and it will end, be the end of me. But faith says trouble don't last always. Fear says, since I've been hurt so much in my past, there's no way I could truly be happy again. But faith says that my best days are still out in front of me. And it is often these historical and emotional facts that make us worry. It is in these facts that make us want to perhaps just lay in bed and keep the covers wrapped over our head. We got the honest folks in the house. The facts tell us that nothing is going to work. The facts say that you don't have enough education, you don't have enough training, or perhaps you're not the right pedigree. The facts say that your health will be concerned because of the sickness that perhaps runs in the family. The facts will insinuate that you will go only so far and obtain this much, and that there's nothing good can happen in your future because of your past. It is these facts that seem to convince us to settle for a life of mediocrity, of not truly trusting in the hand of God. But is there anyone here that's a little tired of talking about the facts? You see, let's talk about faith for a moment. Forgive me. You see, we understand that in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the substance of the things that are hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. So I ask you, my brothers and sisters, what is it that you're hoping for? 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 reminds us, therefore do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. It says, for our light afflictions, which is built for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what it says. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, it said, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I see we have some believers in trust tonight. You see, Paul is reminding the Corinth church to hold on to faith regardless of the circumstances. The outward, what we see, may be perishing and falling and crumbling all around us. So in other words, our light afflictions, my brothers and sisters, are working for us. And not just working, but they are producing and accomplishing the end that is far more great and exceeding. Praise the Lord. Can we just give the Lord a round of applause? Because he's far more exceeding and eternal. Far more exceeding and eternal. So what this tells me, my brothers and sisters, is if we can just hold on, that perhaps I'll get double for my trouble. Perhaps things don't seem to line out the way I think they will. But if I can just hold on in the name of Jesus. We may be thinking that 2018 so far has been a year of perhaps some fear and disappointment. Maybe even some rejection. And said, I might have allowed the temporary things of life to dictate the perception of my destiny. But I came here to tell somebody tonight that it's not too late to choose faith. It's not too late to choose faith. So when I find myself between a rock and a hard place, I'm going to have to choose faith. When the odds are stacked up against me there, and there appears to be no way out, my brothers and sisters, I must choose faith. When the money's not right and the bills are due, I must choose faith. All over this place, can we lift our voice and say, I must choose faith. I must choose faith. So rather than spending all of our energy trying to figure out this unknown future, I must choose faith. Faith that will continue be my strength. Faith that he will continue to be my shield. Faith that he will continue to be my buckler. And more importantly, faith that he will continue to preserve me in this hour. To preserve me. Tell your neighbor it's time to focus on our faith. It's time to focus on our faith. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you're rolling with Jesus, you can just roll right past the facts. When you're rolling with Jesus, it don't matter what the facts dictate. Praise the Lord. You see, having faith in the Lord, that the blessings of the Lord are not only available to me, but they are in hot pursuit of me. They're in hot pursuit of me. I'll prove it to you. In Deuteronomy 28:2, it says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake me, and if they shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So how do I hearken to the voice of the Lord? by looking at what is written. By looking at what is written. Jeremiah 39 and 18 reminds us. He says, "For I will surely deliver you, and I shall not fail by the sword. But your life shall be a prize to you because you have put your trust in me." Everyone to say, trust in me. Psalm 16 and 1 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." See, it's always been about choosing faith. Choosing faith. See, now when you're choosing faith, that doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. It's not going to always be sunshine and lollipops or honey buns and a hot cup of coffee. Praise God. There will always be emotions and downtime and disappointments every now and then. You might experience some rain every now and then. Sickness and finances, family drama, and perhaps even some car trouble. All these things that are right in front of you. These are those moments that we need to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord. I'm reminded in Psalms 13, we hear the words of the pleas of the psalmist in Psalms chapter 13. Four times he says, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, must I deal with this problem?" He cries out in dismay over the trouble. But at the end of the chapter in verse 5, it's almost as if the psalmist shakes himself and he says, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because you have dealt bountifully with me." Do we have some folks in the building that can attest that he's always dealt bountifully? He's always been good to me. He's always been there. Can we just take 30 seconds and just thank him? Can we just thank him? He's always been bountiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've always been bountiful. You've always dealt bountiful with me. Praise God. You see, when you choose faith, my brothers and sisters, it will allow you to see past your circumstances. Anybody got some circumstances? Some stuff that you don't want to talk about out loud, but I got some circumstances. I got some stuff that maybe keeps me up at night. I got some stuff that gets me frustrated. But when you're rolling with the Lord, he'll help you see past the circumstances. In Habakkuk 3:17 through 18, he reminds us, he says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of my olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord." So what this is telling me, even if I don't have everything that I need, even if it means I don't have enough money in the bank, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Praise the Lord. See, I'm convinced that the blessing of the Lord comes through thanksgiving. See, even when I don't have it all together, my brothers and sisters, I got something to be thankful for. Do we have some folks that's just thankful? Do we have some folks that's just thankful? I may not have all I need, but I'm thankful for what he's given me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. This is just my opinion, but I believe the Lord sits high and he looks low. And he's asking the question, are you thankful for what I've given you so far? And if you're not thankful for what I gave you so far, why in the world would I give you something new? It's all about being thankful. Thankfulness opens the door of the unknown. Thankfulness opens the door to your future. I must be thankful. I must be thankful. Being thankful, I can roll past my circumstances. And I'm thankful. You remember the story with Elijah and the widow woman in 1 Kings 17. Don't think I gave that to you, sound man. It was a time of great famine. You remember the story. And the widow was about to eat the last meal with her boy. So when the prophet came and he asked her to make him some food, I could imagine as she walked back in the house and began to ponder her situation. With no husband, no food, and no income, the facts said it was over. The facts said she was done. The facts dictated that this mom would have to feed her son this last even before she ate, because that's what moms do. Any moms in the house? So what we see here is someone that looks beyond the facts, and she made the decision to choose faith. In spite of what her mind was telling her or the thing that was in front of her, she made up in her mind to make the prophet some cakes. So we understand the I choose faith principle here. So when you put God first, he's going to take care. I wish I had six more folks that believe that. Let me say it again. When you put God first, he's going to take care. Well, let me go on this side of the room. I say when you put God first, he's going to take care of you. Let me try it on this side of the room. When you put God first, he will take care. Because it is written. He will take care. I'll prove it to you. Not only was she fed for the day, but she had provisions every day. And the Bible says that it never ran out. The revelation in this story is God supernaturally supplied despite the facts. God didn't stop the famine, but he simply blessed her in the middle of it. He came through when it was the end. Oh, I wish I had about 9 folks that would believe that. I wish I had about 6 folks that need God to step in to the middle of your situation. But it's all about choosing faith. I will choose faith. I will choose faith. What about the young man with the evil spirit in Mark chapter 9? Hear what the father says. Hear what this dad had to say to Jesus. Verse 22, he says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Help us." Hear the plea in dad's voice. Listen how low dad's faith was. He had been watching his boy suffer with this demon of infirmity, having seizures and watching him being violently thrown into the waters and into the fires. Seeing his boy foam at the mouth, and as dad, he was helpless to help him. You see, sometimes it's easy to believe the facts when they're staring you right in the face. You see, when the answer can't be found and you've been living in a nightmare of a situation for so long, it's hard to choose faith. The revelation here is what Jesus said to dad. He didn't rebuke him. He didn't chastise him. He saw him exactly where he was. He didn't see him as a bad man or even a sinful man. He saw him as a man whose faith had been challenged. Jesus said to him in verse 23, he says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the Bible says the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. I believe it, Lord, but this thing has been right in my face." Do we have any folks that can attest to it? It's been right in my face for a long time, and it's been hard to choose. It's been hard to choose faith. But what do we see here? The facts say that this little boy was all messed up, but we serve a God that's not limited by the facts. And he shows up miraculously when we choose faith. You see, nothing would have happened for the son if dad didn't say, I believe, and choose faith. Where are all the dads at in the house? Where's all the grandpas in the house? Nothing would have happened for his boy. Dad didn't make a decision. I can't stay here. You see, this honest confession from this desperate father made the difference in his son's condition. You know, this is that same message. That same message should resonate with all the dads in the room, in this place. He said, Dad, my level of faith can be all the difference in my household. You know, Dad, your level of faith can make the difference in your community. You know, Dad, the level of faith can be all the difference in your relationship. But it's all because you have to choose, Dad. Choose faith. Choose faith. I don't want to get too sidetracked. But as a man of God, it's important that we understand our role in the kingdom of the Lord. Everything about my family is on my back. Who they're going to be, what my kids are going to grow up, they're going to be watching me. As dad, I have a 13-year-old son, and everything that I do, he wants to do it too. Walks like me, tells jokes like me. Every time he gets on my nerve, the Lord reminds him. Ryan reminds me, you prayed for this little fella. But it's important. Yes, he was brought up in church, but I have to teach him how to pray. I got to teach him how to study. I got to teach him how to be a man in the Lord. Do we have any dads that's believers? Do we got any grandpas that attest? I will choose faith because my household depends on it. I wish I had about six dads that believed it. Nothing would happen if dad didn't make a decision. You see, my brothers and sisters, that's nothing ever happens without faith. Four times we see it. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. Say it with me. The just shall live by faith. Say it with me. The just shall live by faith. Very simple statement. If I'm a just man or a woman, I must live by faith. It means I can't be worried about this situation on the outside. I will live by faith. You see, if you're a blood-bought child of God, is anybody in the house? What is written? What is written? It takes faith to believe what thus saith the Lord. It takes faith to believe it. In Isaiah 22:22, it takes faith to believe that I will open doors that nobody can close. In Isaiah 43:19, it takes faith to believe that he will make a way in the wilderness. It takes faith. Jeremiah 29:11, it takes faith to believe that I have plans to prosper you, that you can have a good end. It takes faith to believe it. You see, it's easy to doubt ourselves. It's easy to doubt during our circumstances and even in our abilities. But when God says you can do all things through Christ, he means it. When he said you can do all things through me, he means what he says. If we're going to stay in the faith, we can't focus on the odds. We can't focus on the obstacles. One of the keys of choosing faith is keeping our eyes on the eternal. The things that come from you and perhaps the things that are going to outlive you. Faith. Faith. See, I'm not an old man, but I'm already thinking and dreaming about what kind of grandpa do I want to be? Faith. Lord, help me to live and be right, a righteous man now to benefit my grandkids, those that are going to perhaps outlive me. So I ask you again, what is it that you're hoping for? Choosing faith over the facts. Have you ever took the time and wrote down all the things that you had to trust God about? Things and situations that you couldn't take care of on your own. I'm not talking about the things that you could have just wrote a check for. I'm talking about the things that if the Lord didn't step in, it wasn't going to work out. The Lord didn't step in. It wasn't going to work out. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 30 and 2, it says, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." If you've ever attempted that, to write down all the things, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? You see, when times get rough and you don't know what to do, you have to be able to bear witness of what I do know. You have to be able to bear witness. I can't see into the future, but let me tell you what I do know, devil. Let me tell you what I do know. Things may be falling apart all around me, but let me tell you what I do know. You see, he's always been with me as a child. And I'm sure you can say the same. He's been with me through my 20s. He's been with me through my 30s. And he's been with me as I enter into my 40s. You see, when I was 14 years old and I was in and out of the hospital dealing with sickle cell, or when we had that really bad year, when I lost my job 2 times in the same year, or when I turned 40 and the doctors couldn't figure out the nausea, they couldn't figure out my exhaustion, the CAT scans were inconclusive, or what about 16 years ago when they said my daughter was going to be born with Down syndrome, and they pulled me and my little wife into the office, told us that they advised us to terminate the pregnancy. Or 8 months ago, then when despite my circumstances, church, despite my environment, I prayed my bravest prayer. And I want to hear to tell you tonight that he's always come through. And me, just like you, if I look back over my life and I begin to think things over, I can truly say that I am blessed. Yes, I have a testimony. But see, if I never chose faith, God couldn't have showed up. If we never choose faith, God will never reveal himself. We must. We must choose faith. Your walk with God, my brothers and sisters, is all about you choosing faith. If I was to tell you, you can go anywhere from here. You can be anything from here. It's all wrapped around faith. It's all wrapped around faith. Brother Thompson, this new building, you got this great Christmas present you're about to go into. It all started out with a dream wrapped around faith. You got a visionary, a man of God here, and he wrapped his prayers up in faith. Matter of fact, he came to Orange Park wrapped up in faith. And the Lord saw his vision, and then he saw each and every last one of you. And he said, I'm bringing a man of God to reach out and give you a place to come and worship. But it all started with faith. It all began with faith. So I ask you, my brothers and sisters, what in your life has to be wrapped around faith? I can't make it without faith. What does thus saith the Lord in your life? When he says, I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail, What do you do with that information? I'm supposed to win. He told me that I was going to be the borrower and not the lender. That means I'm supposed to have some money. Oh, you guys got it all. I was wondering what church had it all. Choosing faith. Choosing faith. I can remember moments in my life driving to work, just frustrated. Lord, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How are we going to send these girls to college? I'm going to feed this big boy of mine. Sometimes you just got to shake it. Lord, if you brought me this far, if you brought me this far, you see, I haven't been around for a while, but I haven't met nobody that can say the Lord didn't fail them. I haven't met anybody that the Lord has failed yet. Have you? So the key is I must see past my circumstances. I must see past my circumstances. If God has kept you, if God has always provided it for you, it all started with that faith. My faith. I don't know how we're going to do this. We're going to have to grow this building. We need new people in here. Folks need the Holy Ghost. Folks need to be saved. We got to reach this city. How are we going to do it? It's wrapped up in faith. It's wrapped up in faith. Wrapped up in faith. And it can't be just pastor's vision. It can't be just pastor's vision. Because if you give up on the Lord, then what you going to do? My pastor says it all the time. If you give up on God, then what? Then what? You said a fantastic statement. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. I'm going to walk it like I talk it. I'm going to dance if I don't see it. I'm going to believe it even though it don't make no sense. When the limitations are in front of me, I'm going to say thank you, Lord, anyhow. Do we have any believers? Do we have some folks that are saying thank the Lord anyhow? I'm not sure what's going to happen on the job tomorrow, but thank him anyhow. Faith. Faith. Faith is the great equalizer. It's all about faith. So stand to your feet. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. As I look back over my life, as I think things over, I can truly say I have been blessed. I have a testimony. I have a testimony. I have a testimony. See, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what 2 years from now is going to hold.
That's right.
But I can remember all that he's done for me. See, when you start thinking about all that he's done for you, it's like you put the blinders on. It's like you don't even see what's in front of you. Choosing faith. Choosing faith. Let me tell you a story. I used to work downtown off of 4th Street. Things got interesting. We used to have a young man, and I'm not going to say his name because every time I used to say his name, he would show up. It was crazy. Something was wrong with this young man mentally. If he shows up, it's going to be awesome. His name is William. Now, William didn't have a house. Every time I saw William, he had on the same clothes. Mentally, William wasn't there. He would come in every morning for a cup of coffee. Keep in mind, no house, living in the elements. Always saw him in the same clothes. But William would come in every morning, and William would always be singing about how good God was to him. Jesus loves me.
Yes, I know. So as I think about that, He don't got much. And I think about all God's done for me. And I want to be stoic in His presence. I want to be stoic in His presence. It's all wrapped up in your thanksgiving. It's all wrapped up in faith. It don't make sense right now, but in the end, I win. It don't make a whole lot of sense right now. My health may be macked up right now. My finances may be messed up right now. But in the end, see, it's bigger than what we see in front of you. It's what's happening, things that we can't see. See, it takes faith to believe in what I can't see. But it is written. I know it's difficult. It's difficult to simply trust at the level depicted in the Word tonight. You see, in our humanity, we trust, but then we verify. You see, this is that ideology of trust but verify reveals the real issue. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So when you're talking about trust in the Lord, you don't really need a whole lot of faith to trust in someone that you have a relationship with. With me? If I have a relationship with you, I trust you. You've never done anything for me to think otherwise. So I trust you. And we can walk. Can we walk? That trust. See, I can close my eyes. Because we have a relationship. And I think that's the key when we're talking about matters of faith. See, when we don't trust somebody, what do? Keep walking. The Lord's trying to lead us, and we're trying to figure things out. Well, wait a minute. Where is money going to come from? What are you talking about, Lord? I can't witness to them. I don't know enough verses. My dad wasn't a pastor. What are you doing? How are you pulling me? You see, when he's talking about trusting in the Lord, we get back to the crux of the matter, is where is the relationship? See, when you trust in the Lord, it's like a pal, right? And I know you've never done anything to hurt me. That's where the faith comes from, right? Because I have confidence. I have confidence in my relationship. I know you've never done anything to me. You've always had my back, right? So I trust you, right? So when I'm trusting in the Lord, you ever heard of blind faith? That's what that is. That's what that is. But that's the key, that trust and verify ideology. That's wrapped around the lack of relationship. I don't trust you because I don't know you. Does that make sense? Think about some folks in your own neighborhood. You can't drive me nowhere because I don't know you. Right, but when grandma calls, grandma, you can drive me wherever you want to go. It's trust. It's the relationship. So tonight, perhaps we find ourselves challenged in our faith. We're hesitant. Our steps are unsure. And perhaps we find another way to get it done because we don't trust the relationship. So here we are. First Sunday of November. And maybe you can be like that dad that we read about in Mark. He says, Lord, I believe, but my circumstances got me all wrapped up. Lord, I believe, but my money is funny. Lord, I believe, but I didn't grow up like everybody else. My past is holding you back. It's the relationship. So tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know you, and you don't know me. But if we can get everybody over this, all over this building, to lift our hands. Yes, yes, yes. Lord, to trust you. Lord, I want to get to know you. Lord, these situations, Lord, I cry myself to sleep at night. Lord, there's trouble on every side. Lord, I want to trust you, God. I need to trust you, Lord. I want to believe. You said that you can build up my most holy faith. I need a boost. All over this place, so we can lift our voice. If you'll be honest and say, Lord, my relationship is the issue. If you'll be honest, my relationship has been the problem. You said you would never leave me. You said you would never forsake me. Lord, help me to believe. Help me to trust. Strengthen the relationship. All over this building, cry out to the Lord. I trust you. Come on, dig down deep, Lord. I trust you. I trust you. That's it. Let today be a new day of trust. Let today be a new day of relationship, Lord. I trust you. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I trust you. I don't know how we're going to do it, Lord, but I trust you. That's it. That's it. Today is a new day.